I don't stand here this morning before you to try to say anything clever. It is the first Sunday of the month, and we take communion on the first Sunday of the month together. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about communion, about the cost of communion. This is going to be a whole lot less preachy. I just want to read a couple things together, things that you've read before. One, I'll just begin here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. You don't have to turn there. But the Word tells us that God is faithful. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to read that one little small sentence again. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We know that the word faithful means this is someone that we can trust. We've talked about many times over the faithfulness of God, Jesus in His duties, and even in recent weeks talking about Him being very single-minded in His purpose and never becoming distracted, never veering left or right, despite the potential in Him for gain, personal gain. He only ever did that which the Father had sent Him to do. He was faithful. That word fellowship in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 is the same word that is translated communion, where we take the word for taking communion or partaking in Jesus as we remember Him when we break bread and take of the cup together. That word fellowship, any of you that use a Strong's concordance is Strong's number G2842. It's koinonia, again meaning fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, or intercourse. The share which one has in anything, again, participation, fellowship, intimacy, a gift jointly contributed, a collection, a contribution, as exhibiting an embodiment and proof of fellowship. As all of you know here, church is more than just showing up on a Sunday morning and hearing a sermon. We recognize that putting our hope in Christ means we're born into a family, into a kingdom, that you become citizens of that kingdom, that you are children of King, you're called brothers and sisters of Christ, and by extensions, you become brothers and sisters of one another, and that it's mutual affection and mutual participation. It's the church is not a group of hired professionals. It's a body of believers who have been born again, who all bring to bear those things that Christ has done within them to edify one another. That's part of the reason, as an exercise, we had focused on using the first Sunday of the month to have people come and share their testimonies, how they'd come to know that the Lord was good, how you had come to know Him personally reached a place where you put your trust in Him. Because it's not just about my testimony or Steve's testimony or Michael's testimony or anyone that would stand up there and preach. It's about the church collective. The Scriptures tell us that as Christians you have fellowship with the Father and the Son, 1 John 1:3. That you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 13:14, and that you also have fellowship, communion with one another, 1 John 1:7. The New Unger's Bible Dictionary has this to say: as is the case between men, no one can know God, i.e., meaning to be in fellowship with Him, unless he possessed like purposes and feelings with love. Your fellowship as believers embraces confession of sins one to another with prayer, James 5:16, assembling together with exhortation and stimulation to love and good works, Hebrews 10:24-25, partaking of the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:24-25, contributing to the needs of the saints, and many verses over that speak to that. Bearing the infirmities of the weak, and even pleasing one's neighbor, Romans 15, 1 and 2. Love for and fellowship with one another are necessary too, and evidence of your fellowship with God, 1 John 4, 12. And I want to point out that Christ prayed that His people might have fellowship with each other, John 17, 21. And fellowship with God is essential for fruitfulness. I'd like to read again how important is fellowship to God. Just before Jesus' passion, I've highlighted in recent sermons, just and even this morning in Sunday school, how when Jesus was being crucified, despite His own pain, despite His own suffering, He's still thinking about others. On the cross, as the thief begins to communicate and rebuke the other thief, and then ask Jesus to allow him in, Jesus, though he's there suffering himself, takes time to encourage the thief and says that he will be with him in paradise. He arranges for his mother to have a new home with his disciple whom he loved. And even before, in my own life, when I knew that I had seasons of distress coming upon me, I can become very inward focused, leave me alone. And yet here Jesus is, knowing what's fixing to come upon him. And listen to his words. He's praying to the Father. He says, "And neither pray I for these alone," speaking of the disciples that were with him. But he says, "But I also for those which shall believe on me through their word." I've said before, he's talking about us. He's talking about all that would come after. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." If Christ, just prior to his passion, is praying for your fellowship, that tells me that fellowship is worth fighting for. Fellowship in God's house is worth fighting for. In order to get it right, you first have to maintain right relationship with the Father, because everything flows out from there. I can't be in right relationship with you if I'm not in right relationship with Him. But here's what's funny. I can't be in right relationship with Him if I'm not in right relationship with you. But the right relationship with Him comes first, because in order for me to love you correctly, I have to be able to see correctly. And to see correctly, I have to see things the way He sees things. But fellowship is worth fighting for. You don't have to have been in church for very long to recognize that people are willing to throw up the white flag very quickly, to abandon ship very quickly, to run where it's easier very quickly. But if Christ here prays for this, Christ died for this. Fellowship is worth fighting for. Jesus is the one who purchased our redemption. Jesus is the one whose grace enables our fellowship. Again, fellowship is worth fighting for. For a moment, I just want you to think, though others had missed it, every time Jesus spoke of what was going to happen to him, his disciples didn't understand. But Jesus knew the suffering that he was to endure. He knew the cost of our fellowship with him and with each other. And I just want to look at that cost for a moment. Turn to Psalms 22 with me if you would. Again, I said it would be things that you've read before. These are things that you've meditated upon. These are the very things that won you to the person of Jesus because of the love that he demonstrated towards you. But there is a cost to our communion. There is a cost to fellowship. There is a cost to knowing and walking with Jesus and thereby walking with one another. What is it that we experience together as Christians that bonds us together in unity in the person of Jesus? We serve a suffering Savior. Psalm 22, and we'll read, I'm just going to read these slowly, verse 1 through 19. And before I begin reading this very first verse, for me, when I think about Jesus on the cross, if you've ever wondered and thought about Jesus crying out at the end, my God, why have you forsaken me? I believe Jesus is pointing those that were listening back to this passage because it pointed to Him. And it begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, and were delivered. And they trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste to help me. I want to paint the picture just a little more. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 52. We'll read verse 13 and 15. And then Isaiah 53. Isaiah 52, verse 13 and 15. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage, the way that our Savior looked, was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. God asked, who hath believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he, our Savior, shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the cost of your communion this morning. Our partaking in Jesus is only possible because of what Jesus did on our behalf. It was Christ laying down his life. It was Christ wrongfully accused. It was Christ mercilessly beaten. It was Christ spit upon. It was Christ with his beard ripped out. It was Christ with a crown of thorns driven into his head. It was Christ with his bones exposed. He had been whipped to such a degree. It was Christ thinking of you, knowing the cost. This is the cost of your fellowship. And I repeat this morning that it is a fellowship that is worth fighting for. I pray you are always faithful to fight for it, for he did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just bless you in this place this morning, Lord. And we just thank you for the fellowship that is provided in your Son. We thank you that you are faithful even when we are not. We thank you, Lord, that when we come and confess our sins before you, Lord, and when necessary, before your children, that there is forgiveness to be found, and we can again walk in the light, Lord. I bless you over the assembly of the saints this morning. I pray blessing over each one of them. I thank you that by your stripes we are healed. I thank you that by your bruises, Lord, and the things that were done upon your person, Lord, that we find forgiveness from sins. We bless you in these things this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And as Dustin